What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
The demand was so high, I couldn't do everything myself. And so I created the very first autism treatment franchise in the US. And we now have over 75 locations open across 18 different states.
The What's Good Podcast. Are you ready? Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. We are in season 9, and our focus is still wellness. Today, we have an amazing guest with us. We are excited to hear about her journey. Her name is Nicole Daher. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. Happy, Brianna. Love the show, and so much insight can be gained by listening to people with different experiences. So I think it's wonderful what you do.
Thank you so much. And we are excited to get into our conversation. So as you guys know, we do not have interviews. We have genuine conversations. So let's go ahead and get to it. We start off with our icebreaker. Are you ready for your icebreaker, Nicole?
I'm ready.
All righty. Parenting comes with so many unexpected turns. What's one small joy or ritual you share with your daughter that instantly fills her heart and yours?
So my daughter has autism. And she's very shy around strangers, can be very boisterous behind closed doors with people that she's comfortable with. And one of the ways that I helped her break out of her shell, you know, all children are like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a YouTube influencer. That's like the new famous cool job. And so I told her, let's start our own YouTube channel and let's do a cooking show. And she was very excited about it. And girl, we just do like boxed brownie mix and you add water and she stirs it and she tells the camera, and now we're going to put it into the oven. It's so cute and it's so precious to me to have these videos. And one day when she gets married, I'll be able to play these really embarrassing things in front of everyone at the wedding reception. And I'm just so excited to have this content, but it, you know, it's a special moment.
Absolutely. And it's memories as well. So I love that so much from you. And thank you for sharing that. All righty. So let's go ahead and get into our genuine conversation. We always start off with who is the guest. So for you, who is Nicole?
I am Nicole Daher. And while I did not plan this career path for myself, my daughter was diagnosed with autism and I was quickly made aware of how many children need ABA therapy, which is what they recommend for a child that has autism, and how few clinics there are in existence that you can enroll them in. And so I live in Houston and there's hospitals on every corner and there are 4 million people in the city and there are not enough autism clinics to treat the kids that are being diagnosed. And with further research, I discovered that this is a nationwide problem, that more and more kids are getting diagnosed every year, which is fantastic. We're finding them, we're identifying it, we're telling them what their diagnosis is, but to get the help that they need after that is nearly impossible. There are wait lists out the door, and some more rural areas don't have access to treatment clinics at all. And so I started my own company called Success on the Spectrum to help my daughter get what she needed and other kids to get what she needed. It blew up out of control. The demand was so high. I couldn't do everything myself. And so I created the very first autism treatment franchise in the US. And we now have over 75 locations open across 18 different states.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That is amazing.
And so for people who don't know, can you describe and let us know what ABA therapy is?
ABA therapy is a specialized way of teaching. A lot of people hear therapy and they think that you lay on a chair and tell the therapist all of your problems. That's not what this is here. It's really a behavior modification education. And so children with autism typically don't have verbal language or don't have the ability to construct complicated thoughts. And so the way that we teach kids is a nonverbal way of learning. We use a system of rewards to encourage the behaviors that we want to happen again. And we ignore all of the bad behaviors and don't give them any attention at all and hope that they fade away. And so we also supply them with skill acquisition that they may not have before. So if they're not verbal, we try to help them get verbal language. If they don't make eye contact naturally, we teach them how to do that with games and rewards. And finally, as they mature, they gain more skills. We do life skills for them so they can take care of themselves one day, feeding themselves, dressing themselves, brushing their own teeth, doing their own homework, self-calming skills. So when they go into a tantrum, they don't need mom to calm them down. They have those strategies given to them that they can help calm themselves. And these skills that we teach them will hopefully one day help them generalize into a typical classroom, go to college one day, get married one day, have kids of their own one day, live on their own, and be happy, fulfilled adults in society.
Beautiful. And so reading your bio, I noticed, like you mentioned, that there's only like for certain locations that it only provides this type of therapy up to 6 years old for a child. And so for you, what was the difference that you wanted for your facility and to help, of course, the kids and also to help the parents based off your own experience?
When I finally found an ABA clinic that would accept my daughter, there were so many things that I as a parent wished that they would do. And one of them was they don't let parents inside. Imagine driving your kid to therapy and they go to therapy all day. It's not like a quick appointment and leave. This is in replacement of school or replacement of daycare. They're there Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. So in the morning, you drop your kid off at this clinic and they open your car door and they get your kid out and they go in this building that you're never allowed to go in. And I had a female child who could not speak, completely nonverbal. If they would have done something to her in there, she wouldn't be able to tell me. And I was so scared, like, what's really going on? What are they really teaching her back there? Are they doing anything at all? Is she just sitting by herself and playing with the toy and nobody's messing with her? Like, what is going on in that building? Why are they hiding things? And it made me feel distrustful. And so when I started my own ABA clinic, I put cameras in every single room and I created a parent viewing room. So, you know, kids never act the same with their parents in the room as they do with teachers. So you don't want the parents to distract the kids. So we wanted a way for the parents to be able to see the kids, see everything that's happening without the kids seeing them. And the cameras really accomplish that. And even if a parent isn't physically present all day, because you got to go to work, you got to come back, they can always rewind if the child was injured or got hurt, or they say their first words and you want to see it, or any of these fantastic things that can happen during the day. We have those recordings and the parents have access to those. Another huge factor that you mentioned is most ABA therapy clinics nationwide only treat kids up to age 6. And after they turn 6, they're like, all right, you're the school district's problem now. And in Texas, our special needs department is not fantastic. It's not fantastic. And so she turned 7. She wasn't ready to go to school. She was still just learning these things. I didn't want to lose the momentum of all the things that she was learning and growing. She was tying her own shoes. She had learned to speak. She was learning how to write. She was reading stories with me and we were working on comprehension. And school, I think, would have really messed with her progress. It would have set her back. And so my clinic serves kids all the way up to age 18 because there's no growing out of autism. So why could you grow out of the treatment? It needs to continue. The support needs to continue. And so I'm very proud that the brand I've created can serve older kids and allow the parents to be involved in the process.
I love it. And so for you, what was that breaking point to where you've been through it, you've seen all the clinics, you've had the experience, and to the point where, you know what, I can do this myself. Let me see and research what this will look like for me to open up my own clinic.
Anybody opening up their own business for the first time will tell you it is terrifying because there's so many things that you don't know. Even if you have an MBA and you go to college for business, they still don't go over all the little details and little things that happen along the way. So it was very scary. But when you're motivated by your own child, don't get in a mama bear's way. Like, I'm coming, I'm doing this, and I will Google this thing together if I have to.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I read books, I Googled, I asked questions to different people. I was online on all these chat forums trying to get a straight answer from people. But scary thing is, most businesses are just made up on the spot. Most decisions are just in the moment, and you hope that you're doing the right thing. So I used my mama brain most of the time. I was like, I'm a parent, what would I want for my kid? And I also had to have the, okay, we have to be profitable at the same time. So how can we balance the business side of the brain and the parent side of the brain? I want to have the customer's perspective, but still be able to thrive financially. And I think what I found was a very nice balance, where you can do the right thing by the kids and you can still be a profitable business. And it's turned out to be way more than I ever thought it could be.
Yeah. So when did you realize like one location is not enough? At this point, the people are wanting more. We want to, and one thing that you said to me was on your, when you signed the questionnaire, it stood out to me that you said, you don't want to be rich. You want to focus on the reach. That really touched my heart. So I do want to pick your brain on that, to like, now we're reaching more people. Now we got to figure out what it looks like to be accessible from people from city to city. What did that look like to realize like you needed to do this? And now it's being more impactful than you thought.
It was a wild ride, and it happened so much faster than I ever imagined. So I opened the first little business just for her, right? And I was like, let me get a few other kids in to help me pay for this. So I put out the feelers online. Who else wants in? All these moms. Me, I have an older kid. I can't find a place for him. Please take me. Please take me. And I was like, oh, I don't want all these people in my house. So let me get a little office. Let me get a little office. Let me rent something cheap. I didn't realize that the reason why the place that I rented was so cheap was because we were in the ghetto and it was a little bit scary. And I was like, oh my God, what have I done? But we did okay. And we locked the doors and we did all the things. And we had the kids in a place where they were learning things. And I'm like, oh my God, this is good. Like, my daughter said her first words. And now all these kids are doing it. Like, I'm reliving all those happy moments through them. And it was going great. More kids called. And suddenly I was the person on the phone saying, sorry, I can't take your kid. And I remember what it was like being on the other end of the line. And I was like, no problem. I'll fix this. I'll make my office bigger. So I hired a piano teacher and she came in to teach the kids Christmas songs. And we played as loud as we could against the wall until our neighbors moved out and I rented their space too.
Very smart.
So we expanded and we were twice as big and we brought in twice as many kids. But eventually, and when I say eventually, like just a few months later, wow, more parents, we need a spot for my kid. How can I get in? And I'm like, I don't have any more room. And I again felt like a piece of poo. And I didn't want to be that person to deny a child. So I opened a second clinic on the other side of town so that I would kind of space it out a bit. And that one was twice as big as the first. And I thought, I got this now. Like, surely I have all the people in Houston covered. Nay, nay. In 9 months, I was again completely full. And that is when I discovered I can't do this by myself. There's too many kids, and I'm just in this little pocket of Houston. What about Atlanta? What about Jersey? What about Charlotte, North Carolina? What about Denver and all these other large cities that have tons of kids? What about them? And I knew that I could have opened up more and more clinics slowly on my own and gotten rich off of it and been so busy that I couldn't take care of my own child anymore. Or I could teach other people how to do this. And so I franchised the business. And now, all day long, I teach aspiring entrepreneurs how to open their own ABA clinic, how to make money with it. I support them, whatever questions they have. I have a whole team of people answering questions. And this is how we've grown to, you know, 75 plus locations and 18 different states. And each new state is a new policy and a new regulation to discover and figure out, but the kids are the same. And the result is the same. And we've served over 4,000 families. And each kid we've served has made some sort of progress already. And we're changing lives.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. Okay. So I actually had a client before, and I forgot the name of her podcast, but it was Confetti for Autism. And it was beautiful. And I want to ask you, because when I was working with her, of course, I was listening and editing the episodes, and she wanted to provide a space to talk about wellness. You know, how are we taking care of ourselves? Are we are supporting our babies? And so I want to ask you that when it comes to the community for the parents, what is a wellness tip that you can provide to everyone that's listening to, of course, take care of themselves as they're going on this journey every day with their children?
Absolutely. All parents sacrifice themselves so that their kids can have. And a special needs parent has to give up so much more. Autism is a developmental delay. And so while a child may physically be five, mentally they stay in those terrible twos for years. So imagine changing diapers for years. Imagine changing diapers on a child that is now getting just as big as you. Imagine kids that don't sleep. Why do they have so much energy? They don't sleep and you never get to sleep. Kids that elope, they have no sense of danger. And in the middle of the night, they'll walk out of the house and go jump into the neighbor's swimming pool. And you are just constantly on red alert. You're financially drained because they're getting all these therapies. You can't work because of all these doctor's appointments. So the financial stress, the lack of sleep, the prolonged toddler period, a lot of parents are isolated. They can't bring their kids in public because of the fear that they'll run or they'll scream or the, you know, they'll be judged in public by their child's odd behavior. And it wears you down. And parents need to know that if you don't take care of yourself at least a little, you won't have anything left to give to your kids. You know, in the airplane, they say put on your oxygen mask first, then help others. And there's a reason for that. If you are not there to help anymore, who's going to do this? And so parents need to reach out to each other. They need to make time to socialize with each other. And that can be hard because you can't just find a babysitter and you can't just leave them alone with anybody. You can't just drop them off at a daycare. And that's another thing that I created. My company, which is called Success on the Spectrum, we host autism-friendly events for kids. And they're all inclusive events where people, everyone around is an autism parent. Everyone has an autistic sibling or child. And at these events, the kids get to play with each other without the fear of being judged. But then you meet other parents like you that have the same struggles, that have the same complaints, that have the same joys, that understand the life that you are leading and they don't judge you for it. So my best advice to parents is find your people, find your tribe, find people like you that understand you, that are living the same life that you are living, and seek comfort from them. Even if it's just a vent, sometimes all we need is just a vent to somebody who will listen. That can be helpful in relieving stress and making you not feel isolated, not feel alone. But you absolutely need that outlet.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go into our next segment, and it's pretty much highs and lows. We're going to talk about pivots, and then we're also going to share some exciting news, anything that you're excited that you would like to share with us so we can, you know, cheer you on. Sure. So let's start off with a low. If there was any type of pivotal points within your journey that you would like to share with us, and then on the opposite end, you're still here with us. So how did you get through that?
I started the franchise in 2019, and I sold two franchises, and we were a brand new company, and I've never run a franchise before. So I'm like making this up as I go, and I keep, you know, telling myself, how do I help these people, these CEOs of these companies, be just as successful as my clinics? How do we fill their clinics up? How do they do as just as good a job as me? I don't think I have any magic sauce. I think anybody can do it, right? So these people asked me, how much is it going to take to open this clinic? And we added up all the furniture, the toys that you need, the camera system that you got to put in, the TVs, how much rent it would be. And they took all of their life savings and they just dropped it into this business. And now I feel like, okay, I hope I wasn't lying to these people. I hope this thing works out because I would really guilty if I like financially ruined these people for my dream. And then COVID hit. That was a huge low because businesses left and right were closing. My favorite restaurant across the street from my house closed. It was such a sad day. But all these businesses closed and you think, oh God, we didn't anticipate this. They don't have money to last months to get us out of this. Are we going to make it? And I was just guilt-ridden. I was worried. I was stressed. I was eating. I gained 20 pounds. I think we all gained 20 pounds in COVID. I don't think it was just me.
We did.
It's like stress eating. You were stuck at home. All you could do was cook to keep from going bored. The only place you could leave to go to was the grocery store. So you're just making spaghetti and all kinds of stuff. And we discovered that because we are an essential healthcare service, we were able to stay open all through lockdown. And because paying for ABA therapy is covered by people's health insurance or by Medicaid, it didn't matter that Dad lost his job and he wouldn't have money to pay for daycare, money to pay for school tuition. They didn't need that. So all of the kids that we had were able to stay with us. We continued to stay open. We continued to get paid. And learning that we were, and I didn't even do it on purpose, learning that we were a recession-proof business, I was like, whoa, I didn't have to worry about all this. We were still able to help these families. We were still able to treat these kids. We were able to keep going with them. I was able to pay my employees. We were paying the rent. We did well during COVID. And even the school district was calling us because their special needs kids now didn't have a classroom to go to, but they needed that structure. They sent more kids to us. My biggest problem then was I had to hire more people during COVID than any other time before that. And it was wild. So it was both a low and a high. And it was inspiring and a happy surprise, really, a happy accident, if you want to call it that, to discover that the business that you built is not only surviving, but thriving when other businesses were shaken. And it pleases me so much that I didn't lead my franchisees to their financial ruin. We really did prosper under those conditions.
I love that so much because I heard several different things. Building a business recession proof. I think that's amazing. You were still able to support the parents, support the kids, support your franchisees. Is that how you say it? Yeah. And so you were able to support, and it wasn't anything that you thought about. It wasn't anything that you trained for. It was during the experience itself. And so if you didn't go through that experience, you wouldn't have known, period, of this was a situation that could survive anything and everything as far as the business itself. So I love that. Because now businesses are thinking now, because of COVID, can this survive if there's another pandemic, if there is something else that may happen in the future? And now people are building businesses on that type of thought process, because so many businesses did crash, unfortunately, due to COVID. And so for you, that's a huge blessing that you were able to see during the journey that you were good to go.
And it's going to happen again. I mean, there's no such thing as one illness, one and done. It's going to happen again. Now, we're not going to be as freaked out the second time, and we'll be more prepared the second time, but it will happen again. And, you know, everybody has business ideas. Oh, I'm going to do this, and wouldn't it be fun to do that? And I think you have to think about what's going to happen during the downturns. How am I going to prepare for stuff like that? But the business also has to mean something to you. I can't just open a pizza, and I love pizza, don't get me wrong, but I can't just open a pizza place and be so proud of myself for what I've done. And when I'm dead and gone, that's what I leave behind. I wanted something a little bit more. And so this business offers both the goodwill, the philanthropy, if you want to call it, of helping other people and leaving the world a better place than when you found it, but also make a little money along the way, have some little free time. I'm the boss, so I get to come and go and make my own hours. And so it's really got, it checks all the boxes. It's got all the things that anybody could look for. And it was all by accident. I didn't even like try to do this.
I love you sharing this story. Okay, we got the highs and lows. That was amazing. Okay, so our next one is one for your advice. I feel as if a lot of times we pay for conferences, we pay for webinars, we pay for seminars, we pay for coaches, we do all these things, thousands and thousands of dollars. And a lot of times it goes over our head. So if you have one free advice to share, it could be one word, it can be a statement, actionable steps that people can take after listening to this episode and make it happen.
My daddy told me this when I was a teenager, and I didn't know how much I would apply this to my life. But he said, you are the people that you hang out with. And I know he just wanted me to stop hanging around my bad influence friends. I know that's what he wanted. So that applied to friendships. But later on, I discovered it applies to relationships. And when I married that first no good husband, I discovered quickly that the people that you surround yourself with make your life a living hell, or they make your life heaven. And you have to be careful who you choose. And when I started my business, the same advice applied, because I had to build a team of people to work for me that would help me reach my goals and not bring me down. And not everybody has the same goal as you. Not everybody has the same thing in their heart that they're going after. Some people just want the money. They just want the paycheck. They're in and out. They want to do it as quick, as messy as possible and just leave. And I wanted to do a good job for the kids. The kids is what mattered. And so I had to learn that the hard way too, when I hired somebody that wasn't using their heart to work with the kids, and it got messy and I had to fire them. And it, the first time you fire somebody, you are devastated. It just tears you down, because you're like, why did I fail them? Why couldn't I train them to be better? What could I have done better? But sometimes you can't change people. They have to come to you as they are, and you have to fit, and you have to learn to recognize who fits with me in my life and for this goal. And so that's my best advice. You are who you surround yourself with. So whether it's a marriage, a friendship, a business partner, a coworker that you're getting into a day-to-day grind with, find the people that will help you reach that goal, that will help you accomplish that goal in a positive way, that will make your life a living heaven and not a living hell.
I love that. You are dropping so many gems today. I am so excited. Okay, so tell the people how they can stay up to date with you and what you got going on, if that's the website, social media, etc.
If you are an inspired entrepreneur and you are looking into starting your own business, I would love if you would visit our website and consider our franchise. You can go to sosfranchising.com and learn all about what autism therapy is, how you can start a business, what it takes, how we can help you, and whatever city you want to start in, what is available there to begin with. And I have a special gift if you contact us and say that you heard about Success on the Spectrum through this podcast from Brianna, we will give you a round-trip flight, domestic flight, Southwest Airlines to Houston to spend a day with me, to take a tour of our corporate headquarters, to learn about the company, to see the inside of the clinic and what life would be like as the CEO of one of our clinics. We will buy that plane ticket for you. And we're excited to meet everyone who is willing to jump in our boat and help us paddle these kids to a better place, because it takes more than just one person.
That is a sweet deal while also building community. I love that so much. So I'll be sure to make sure we will share that information so the people can come out and fellowship. I mean, see the different opportunities out there. So I'm excited, Nicole. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me. This is such a good platform to spread the good news of, yeah, make your money, but do a little good in the world too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So our last segment is our motivational moment. As you guys know, we either share a quote. It could be a Bible verse, something that really sparked in my spirit. I bring it on here. I share it. Then I share my thoughts. Nicole will share her thoughts. And it's a wrap. Are you ready for the motivational moment?
I'm ready.
All right. This is a Bible verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And this is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And so as I am hearing your story, when it comes to this specific Bible verse, it really touches my heart, because as you mentioned, it was in a situation where you were just trying to get money. It was a situation that was planned for. Like you said before, you had other plans, but that wasn't what God had planned for you. And so you being very obedient, I think the reward came to now having all these locations. People are now wanting to pour into you. Now people are wanting to be a part of the process. And I think it's because you were just being super obedient, because you could easily still try to figure out, okay, there's other schools here. There's other ways here. I'm probably just going to homeschool my child. There could have been other ways of you figuring it out for your daughter. But instead, you were like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and create a clinic at this point, because this is just not working and I'm not going to limit my child. And so I love that, like, you just really staying obedient to what God had called you to be, to where you're getting the rewards, you're getting the fruit of what he positions you to be. And so it just really warms my heart when, you know, thinking about the Bible verse, saying it out loud and just really reflecting on everything we spoke about today, it really just comes together. So how about you?
It really does come together. I love that the word destiny was used, because I had totally different plans in my life and all those plans are out the window, like gone, like out of the rear view. So it doesn't matter how much you plan, your destiny will come for you. And all you have to do is answer the call. If something tugs at your heart, follow that and lead that into wherever it takes you. Wherever it takes you. And I will start, you know, my motivational quote is to find your tribe. It kind of goes with what I said earlier, surround yourself with the people that are uplifting and helpful to you. But just know that nothing that you get called to do will be impossible. He will never give you something that you cannot handle. And if you find your tribe, if you find your people, he will send people to assist you, because nobody can do anything by themselves. And if you see someone lifting something heavy, you want to go and help them. You should ask for help if nobody's coming to help for you. And we can all lift much heavier burdens together than we can by ourselves.
You are just amazing, Nicole. I am just so thankful for today. Is there any last parting words? Anything you feel like I forgot? Anything you want to share with the people before we leave today?
One more thing. If you haven't done it already and you are listening, please leave Brianna a 5-star review on whatever platform you are listening to, because this girl is doing the Lord's work and she's spreading good news about all kinds of, not just wellness, but all kinds of life and inspiration that you can apply to all aspects of your entire existence. And she deserves to get praised for the work that she is doing.
You're going to bring a tear to my eye, Miss Nicole. I am so thankful. Well, again, I want to thank you so much for your time, and the work that you're doing is just a blessing. And I want to thank you guys for listening. If you're listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you. And we will see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.